What's up, y'all? Here's a quick recap of last week.
God did something that was good for me, but at the time it felt really bad. Because if I had stayed in that situation, I don't know if I would still be here. And I was like, God, if you get me out of this, I don't know how you are because I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I don't have anywhere to go with my kids. God had literally changed my life, saved me, gave me this amazing idea to start this organization. And here I am today.
Let's dive in where we left off. I'm curious about this for you. Mm-hmm. How's dating life going now? Because now you on a whole different, plane, man. Now you got some confidence in you. I saw your post where you said, which I thought was hilarious. You said, "I kept my oval face over the holidays,"
and I was dying.
I was like, "Wait, let me think." I know what she's saying. So I feel like you're on one, right? You're trying to look like a snack. You're on your health game. You out here trying to whatever. So what is dating look like from this perspective? Because I feel like it's damn near like opposite from where you were at. Like now you coming in from a business owner, you hustling, you know, you doing your thing. Has your taste changed? Are you now looking for like a whole different kind of guy?
Don't even know what I'm looking for. That's the crazy part. I'm sitting here, I'm a whole different person, like you said. You know, I'm like, God has established me to be an entrepreneur now. I have like this different headspace of even like freedom and what wealth can be, where I'm going, you know. So it's a different world, you know, whereas before I was just trying to be a nice, you know, a housewife. Like I was happy with that life and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not the same person. So what I'm looking for now is like totally different. I can't even understand it. That's why I'm like trying to leave it up to God. I'm like, God, what do you want? Like, how does this look?
Well, more importantly, what do you want? Because I always think, I don't think divorce is bad to me. I always tell people that if you got a divorce, man, now you got so much knowledge and you got so much like real world knowledge. Like now you ain't guessing what you need. Now it's like, okay, I've been in this for a minute. I got married. I understand what it is. And now I know what I need. Before I thought it was a cute face. Now I was like, I need character. Yes. I need stability in mind, like in mind. Mm-hmm. I ain't out here looking for this or that. This is what I need to win in a relationship because I've done it before. So I always feel like people with their second time around, it's like, bruh, this is going to be so good for you. So what do you think, as looking back and you learning everything that you've learned, what do you think are now the, like your must-haves?
I definitely think for me, the purpose partnership is important and mandatory for me because I work so hard at what I do, and to have someone who doesn't understand the purpose of it or the reasoning behind it, it would just make them unhappy. So we got to be on the same page here with what I'm working on and, you know, what you're envisioning working with. So I think that purpose partnership is something that's very important to me, and that kind of knocks a lot of people out.
Really?
Yeah. I'm on a different level of what I'm trying to accomplish and who I'm trying to reach. And, you know, that in itself of where I'm at now and 3 years into it, you know, like give me 10 years from now, who knows where I'll be. So, you know, trying to find someone who can think forward like me is going to be very difficult. It has been difficult. And then finding those people, when you do find them, it's like, so when do you actually have time to connect? I'm figuring all that out myself. Like, so
what's interesting is that it's something that I've talked about with my wife. So when I met my wife, she was already kind of like popping and doing her thing. And we talk about this all the time because I'm super interested in dating, love, relationships. I always give a bunch of advice, even though I don't consider myself like the man at advice, but I just study a lot and I watch a lot. I'm always like watching how things play out. And I realized that when women start rocking it in the business world, they're doing their thing, they're forced to operate in a masculine sense, right? So they're, because that's the go-getter. That's the, I'm freaking going to do it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to rise this, the whatever. It's the same thing that my wife was on. And when I met her, she had that energy. Luckily for her, I'm kind of like attracted to that energy, you know, as long as it's, as long as we have respect. So I remember when I met her, I was like, babe, I'm a Christian hip hop artist. Last year I made 35 grand. I may never make more than 35 grand because I only chase purpose. I don't chase money. Yes. So wherever God leads me, that's where I'm going. And I don't ask how much does it pay? I just go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so if that's an issue with you, we do not have to get married. No hard feelings. I get it. Because at this point, I started realizing she's kind of a top earner. She had her own place. She has this nice car. So I didn't know who she was at this point. So I was like, damn, I think she's probably ahead of me. And so she was like, man, I don't care. Like, I make money, so I'm good. I don't need your money. And so I was like, cool. As long as you never let, like, hold that over me. As long as you never make that the reason why your word gets more weight, right?
Yeah.
And so our first big argument was on our engagement when she told me what she wanted to spend on the wedding. And I was like, girl, I didn't make that all last year. So there is no way I am co-signing a wedding that's that expensive. And she goes, well, this is what I want to spend. And I was like, oh, snap. And I ghosted on her for like 3 days. We didn't talk at all because I already warned her. I was like, the second you make money the thing, I'm out. Mm. And so in those 3 days, she came back and she was like, I'm sorry. And she cut the thing in half, what we were going to spend. And that was the biggest test of like, oh, she'll get mad. And there's a lot of pride there. But I trusted she'll always come back and do the right thing. So I say all that to say is that do you feel... like it forces you into your masculine and it becomes hard to then be soft around certain men. Like, does it take a certain caliber man to get you out of your masculine and into a soft place?
Yeah, no. So here's the thing. And this is why I think it's such an emphasis on Christian women. This is why, because if you are naturally submissive to God, you're not going to have a hard time being submissive to your husband. Like, I'm soft to God. Like, God literally directs me when I'm in my way of like, oh yeah, I'm about to do this. It's about to go hard. No, God's like, no, don't do that. I'm sensitive to what he wants and I can be easily redirected. Now, when you get in a space where you don't have God as a leader in your life, then you're going to have a hard time accepting leadership, someone who trumps you, someone who will, you know, direct you and lead you. Right. Mm. And so I really don't have that problem. Honestly, I keep telling people, I'm like, once I get a husband, y'all better be ready because I may disappear and you may see my husband step up over, you know, I still will be helping, but you know, my thing is that whatever my husband, this is why it's so important that God, I choose the right one because he also will be a partner in whatever I'm doing. You know, what is mine becomes his, what's his becomes mine. And he's going to have to be strong enough to carry the weight of what is being built here, you know, like, so that's what I'm really trusting God for is that he will send me somebody who is strong enough to carry what I am, what I'm currently carrying plus me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I'm not going to have a hard problem submitting at all. I was used to it. Honestly, that's my natural state.
Yeah. No, it's so interesting to hear you say that, though, because the word submission is like a trigger word for a lot of people. But have you noticed, is there something, and not just with a partner or supporter, but even in a friendship circle, because like we've acknowledged that you're in a different place. Have you noticed that when you transition into this, what seems to be way more confident, successful, doing your thing, have you noticed that there's certain people, partners included, people who are potential partners, but even friends and family, that there's a baseline or mindset way of thinking that you can't flourish in? Like, is there a roadblock that you consistently are like, damn, this dude thinks like this, these people think like this, and you're finding yourself having to like cut ties with just a mindset that a group of people have? Have you found that?
No, I have, honestly, and I think, you know, with dating specifically, it's very hard because I can't date someone whose mindset is not in a forward, constantly progressive manner. Like, I've had guys that I've dated before and they told me I was too ambitious. Like, they're like, ooh. Okay, you, yeah, I'm saying, right? Like, they were like, you constantly are going to be trying to progress. I'm like, yes, I will never be satisfied with where I'm at. Like, I will always want to continue to become better, whether that's physically, emotionally, financially, you know, career, whatever that is, I will always try to become better. And if you're not okay with that, then we're not going to be okay together. You know, so that's been the problem for me. I've literally had guys like, dude, you're amazing, but I'm actually going to be cool if I start making six figures. I'm probably not going to want to make more. I'm like, wow, okay. Because I will push you. I'm a pusher. I'm like, yo, you making six now? Okay. You're amazing. You could make more than that. Like, you could give so much more to the poor. You could become this. You know what I mean? I'm always going to see you as 10 times bigger than what you are. And I'll push you to become that. So,
ooh, that's interesting. Because I've had this conversation on, I had a podcast that I did with three young ladies. And we had this conversation about a dollar amount. Wow. Like, if there was a dollar amount that a guy needed to make in order to be with them. And they, you know, they were like, they didn't say the dollar amount, but I threw out 35 grand. I was like, 35 grand. And nobody was like, yay. And there were good, noble reasons for why they needed more than 35 grand. But I say that only to say, when I introduced the man that made 35 grand, the word I used was content. He was content because he was a teacher and he made 35 grand. And we got into like a heated debate. And then I said, I stopped because I realized what was happening. And I was like, when I say it content, what did you hear? They heard, oh, he's okay with making 35 grand. No, I need somebody that whatever. And I said, it's interesting that you took the word content and that's how you translated it. Mm-hmm. I meant content like he is happy. He is happy in his purpose, and his purpose is teaching young minds, and he goes to work excited and he comes home happy. That content. Mm-hmm. And
but not like in a sense like he wouldn't be okay if he was able to do more.
No, it's just more so like, you know, certain people have desires to, like, if your desire is to be, you know, the best middle school teacher, and you're like, and you've been rocking it for 10 years and your students are learning and you love it. Like, maybe you'll want to be a principal one day, but for right now you're like, I'm a teacher and I freaking love this. This is like what I was made to do, right? And he's happy. That's the thing. He's happy, right? And so I always say, There comes a level of contentment, and this is my question to you. Have you asked yourself the tough question of, okay, is this coming from a healthy place of continuing to want to succeed? But do I have a contentment meter? Does that make sense? I have a number. If I didn't have a number, I'd be like all these other influencers that are like, you know, making $3 million a month and they're still working. And I'm like, wait, what? There has to be a point where you're like, I'm okay with this. I'm not the richest, but I can fully live my life and not have the pressures of having to go and make money. So that's why I asked you, have you asked yourself of like, okay, do I have a ending point? Like, do I have a number where I'm like, okay, I'm out. I'm out of the rat race. I'm off the wheel. I'm chilling. Or do you really feel like you're always going to want to keep going?
So I'll say that I have my basic level was that I wanted to be out of my parents' basement. That was literally like the best thing in the world to me. I'm like, if I could just get out their basement and live on my own, I'm good.
Right.
You know, that level of contentment is there. Like, I've reached that level. I've already exceeded now my expectations for myself, but I will never put a lid on it to be like, well, I exceeded my expectations. I guess that's it. I'm not going to do that, but I will have a space where I'm able to just do things that I enjoy. I love what I do. So that's what makes it so good, you know, and I can do more to help people. And so when I think about all of the opportunities, it's not so much about like the money opportunities, although that will naturally come with success, but it's also about what I can do to help others. Like, I have so much endless potential with helping other people, to connect other people, to grow, right? So I have the freedom now to create a travel club, right? So I get to travel the world with people, and that's my job, you know, like that type of stuff. I feel like that's where you get, after you've reached that level of contentment, then you can just do stuff that makes you happy. And again, it's going to be fruitful, right? Because your hands are going to touch it and God's going to multiply it. And that's the way it should be. But I will never put a cap on God. So if it's a number that you're looking for, I don't think I would ever stop and be like, you know, once
I don't think a number in the sense of like, oh, this is the only thing. Okay, so my number is 30,000, right? A month. That's my number. So I'm building my
real. After that, you won't work anymore. Like, you'll just sit
after
back.
After that, everything that I do is not going to be on anyone's timetable. I am not pressuring myself. You for damn sure ain't gonna see me on Instagram. I am not gonna bow to a single pressure that this world is pushing on me, because they will push you into thinking 30 grand a month is not enough. And I'm like, Trick, I was living off $1,000 a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was happy. So I'm damn sure I can make 30 grand work. So that's like my minimum goal. If I can get there, I believe. Without debt, because we're pretty good at living under debt, that all of our basic necessities are good. We can live off of 30 grand. Anyone can live off of 30 grand a month. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's why I chose that number. I'm like, comfortably, now to the rich, bro, you're only making just 360 grand
that's
a year.
It, right,
that's nothing.
Right.
I did that last month. And I'm like, I get it. But I don't like the feeling of my human self comparing myself to so many people and always feeling behind, feeling like, man, they're doing it bigger. They're doing it. It's like every day I'm bombarded with that idea, and it makes me think that what I have done or what I have is not enough. That bothers me. And I get scared sometimes in thinking that the mentality of, oh, more. I would do that. I wouldn't appreciate the now. I wouldn't revel in it. I wouldn't like fully celebrate it. I'm just looking to the next. Why don't I have more? And then that mentality makes me feel like I'm not winning. When I'm like, Jesus, if I die today, the amount of life that you have allowed me to live,
it's enough.
I would get to you and I'd be like, bruh, thank you. I wouldn't even consider my life cut short. I'd be like, I used to be a thug, carry guns, and I used to rob people. I should have been dead a long time ago, but you let me live. B, I thought the most banging car I would ever get is a Toyota Tercel, which was $13,000. I thought I would live in a one-bedroom apartment and just be out there touring the world with my little Tommy Hilfiger suitcase and just telling people about Jesus. And I was like, that was enough. And now you have allowed me to do things that I don't remember the last time I thought about money. And that's crazy to me. And so I'm like, content. So that's why I put a number on it, so that it's an attainable goal that can be reached. And I have the choice to say, anything after this, bruh, you're just, I don't know what it is that you're chasing. Because you can only have so much. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I put the number on it, because I'm like, not that the spirit of me, I'm always wanting to do something. So I'll probably get there. I'll settle and I'll be like, okay, now what fun can we do? Now what's fun that I can do? And just, it doesn't even have to win. It can utterly fail.
Right.
But we're good at this point. We can take these risks, you know? But it was important for me to set that, because I knew if you get into that mentality of always looking forward, and maybe, I don't know, that's why I posed the question. It's as self-reflection. And I don't know the dudes, but if I was dating you, I would think, but is there ever a time where we're just going to stop and just kind of like revel? Blessings we can do, but we'll just revel in what we've done and just stop all this and create our, literally like create our own calendar where it's like, bruh, we have, yeah. we don't, I stop using the words, I have to do this. I don't like using those words. I want to get to the point where every word I say is I want or I get, not I have to. The second I say I have to do something, I feel like I'm a slave.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sit well.
When I worked at my job as a director of diversity, I felt like that. Like I was just a slave there. Like I constantly, I have to do this. I have to do that. What I love about being an entrepreneur is that I don't have to say those words anymore. My days look like taking a few calls, a few conference calls, doing this interview, and then devoting the rest to my children. We get to go to Costco. We get to do what we want, go where we want, when we want to. And that to me is freedom that I want me and my spouse to be able to have, you know? So if he has a job that's only making 35K, I'm cool with that. You know, I'm probably going to encourage him to become an influencer. I'm like, hey, you know.
Be a teaching influencer. You can teach more people. Influencer,
you know, let's just show a few clips of you in your class. You know, let's add that up. You know, but again, it's just, again, me just, I'm content, but I'm always progressive.
Sure.
And that's where I think I will be, you know, unless my husband comes along and he's like, okay, dear, let's just stop. This is where we're going to end at. You know, and I think that's why it's so valuable to have this time during your singleness, because you can think like that. Mm-hmm. Once you become one with somebody else, and for me, I'm very old school. And so a lot of women will cringe at what I say. But, you know, when my husband comes along and he sets the tone for what we will do, I'm like, okay, dear, that's what we're doing. You know, and that's what I've grew up in. My dad is a pastor. My mom is the most beautiful example of a submissive wife. He does everything for her. Like there's nothing she wants for. And she has a beautiful life, right? But I had that example growing up of what submission should look like. Wow. You know, and so I know that when you're connected with the right person, you won't have to worry about who's leading or if he's gonna take it advantage or my opinion, does it matter? Like, no, of course it does, you know, but you've gotta be with the right person. And so when I get with that person who's able to rein me in and tell me like what's gonna happen next, cool, let's do it. You know, but until then, you know, I'm gonna work my butt off. And I think, you know, that's where I should be for now. I don't wanna do things that are not, you know, outside of the will of God. So I'm just gonna stay focused and keep working on purpose.
I think that's so beautiful because it's rare to hear that. Cause literally when the term submission comes up, it's very triggering. But I guess it is because of, you know, I would say that it's been taught predominantly in a certain skew by the church that is kind of more like, I've heard one woman say that it was like, doesn't matter who the guy is that's your duty. And she was like, it felt more like I was just the dude's slave and I didn't respect them. And I was like, damn, that's tough. That's really tough. But obviously her history of submission wasn't as healthy as what you're saying. You know, like I didn't have that, but I've worked hard to create that. So when I, you know, my wife doesn't have a problem submitting. Well, I've never even asked her to submit. I literally have never said those terms. I honor her word and her opinion so much that I go to her with everything. Every single thing I'm doing, I'm like, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And we make decisions together because I'm like, yo, this is my helpmate. Like, yeah, I can be the final say, but who wants to be the, I'd rather make all my decisions together. So if it wins, we win together. If it loses, we lose together. And there's not like turning on each other. It's more like, we gonna take this.
Look like, you know, I think people have had a skewed view of what submission looks like, but it looks like a partnership, you know, and obviously you have a CEO and then you have the COO and the people in the company, but CEO listens to the people in the company. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make the decisions on his own, you know, and I've rarely seen an instance where my dad has just been like, well, this is what's going to happen. And I'm not, you know, this is final. Like never, I've never seen that. He always includes her. And again, that's what happens when you have an example of what submission should look like versus what people have tainted it to look like. Right. Like It's not what people think. So when I talk about this, I'm always the person who's getting yelled at in the room full of women, like, girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you been at? This ain't right, you know. But it's honestly, from what I grew up viewing, I've seen it done right. So yeah. I know how it can be.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's so amazing. It's refreshing, you know. I love hearing somebody at least celebrate that. Not because I want that to be like, I'm not like, yeah, women submit to men, but I'm right. more like, man, I don't think submission is an ugly word. I've submitted to God in so many ways, and I've only seen beautiful fruit from it, you know. Seriously. So I'm like super grateful for submission. I love it. So at the end of the day, people can reach out to you. So those who hear this, if they are a person of color, they can reach out to you. If they feel they have something to offer a brand, if they have some type of thing going on as an influencer or hope to be an influencer, am I correct in saying you can help them become one? If they're Absolutely. Already one, you can help them connect to brands. That's your thing. Yep.
That's the thing. And we have a membership. We have a community right now, 5K plus. People that come together, work together, collaborate together. So it's a lot of ways you can connect and be a part of a community of people. And then if you're looking, maybe you aren't a person of color, but you want to support or, you know, be a person that advocates or uses people to be intentionally diverse in your spaces, we also have opportunities for that. So you can go to our website or our page and check all of that out.
I'm gonna check that out. I some people think I'm an influencer, even though I hate social media, but sometimes I want to influence. Sometimes I have something to say. That's the worst part. Here's my algorithm. When I feel like God has something to say through me, I'll say it, and that's when I'll post. And that's my algorithm. I'm the worst. I am the worst. You can't get me. Literally, before we were on, I was posting my music that I totally forgot I was supposed to be uploading and releasing because I just spaced out. Oh God.
No, because you get to do that. You know, everybody are in different seasons. So maybe a season down the line, you'll become more consistent. You know, I'm in my down season, my off season as well. So I'm cool. It's okay.
I kind of want to, I feel like my daddy daughter game is going to go crazy. Like, My two biggest like this year, the interaction were my baby seat that I got. Cause for those who follow me, like I'm a big Porsche guy. So I was like, I don't want to get rid of my 911. I got to figure this out. And I found out Porsche makes their own baby seat. So I was like,
oh, wow.
Money. So I bought it. It was crazy expensive, but I was like, at least I get to keep my car. And so many people reacted to just the baby seat. And then the other one was my vacuum. I asked a question, should I buy a second vacuum for upstairs instead of carrying one up and down? Because I feel like I want a second one, but am I bougie for asking that? And the amount of comments, I was like, oh my gosh, is this my fan base? Like car seats and vacuum, even Dyson, the vacuum brand, gave me 3 fire flame emojis. I was like,
wow.
Oh my gosh. All off of this Dyson.
That's classic content. Yeah.
It made me realize, man, Manny, nobody cares about your cars. Nobody cares about your clothes. They don't care about your music, really. I mean, some people do, but what they care about is the most basic real life thing. So I feel like with my daughter on the way, she's due in June. Like, I'm like, I kind of feel like,
content coming up.
Yeah, like I feel like this family, daddy, daughter. I already have a page called Dad Drip Daily. So it's me and her matching outfits, or matching tones, matching themes. You know what I'm saying? Just crushing it together. And I'm like, So I may hit you up.
Yes, you are welcome. I'm definitely going to have to add you as an honorary member.
That would be amazing.
So help you, we'll walk you through it. So when you have like ideas that you need to kind of run by people, you know, we have profile assessors who will walk you through to kind of help you. Some people are a little bit less, you know, knowledgeable than you, so we even start with people who do have a little bit of knowledge to work with. And them. So yeah, we got you.
I love it, guys. I'll have all Jackie's stuff in the description, so please give her a follow, find out what she's doing. I think it's absolutely amazing. And like we always like to say, we pray you find a seat at the table, but if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.